All right, I was told we're ready to get things kicked off. Are you?
Yes, sir.
You're sure? All right, how many of you are glad you're here this morning?
Woo!
Five of you. Okay. All right. How many of you wish you were still in bed?
Nah.
All right, well, you can sleep during the song service, just
whoa,
not
whoa,
during
whoa.
This. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize he was back there. No napping today. All right. Okay, well, if you received a bulletin, hopefully you got one when you came in. Make sure that you, if you don't have one now, that you get one on the way out. If you are a guest with us this morning, we want to say welcome and thank you so much for choosing to be with us, and we hope that our service will be a blessing to you. Hopefully when you came in as a guest, you got a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and either drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table as you leave this morning, that would be great. But let's take our bulletins out and let's see what's going on this week. Even though it's Thanksgiving week, there's still some things going on. Right after our morning service, we have Sunday school today. And remember, we have Sunday school from children all the way up through adults. And so hopefully you've been joining us for Sunday school. If not, it's not too late. You can join us once again for Sunday school. And then tomorrow night, ladies, at 7 p.m. here at the church, there is ladies' Bible study. Men, Tuesday night here at the church, there's men's Bible study. And then Thursday is Happy Thanksgiving. And you'll see also in the December calendar of events, December's coming, isn't it? It's right around the corner. So we got lots of things going on for the month of December as well. Next Sunday, we will be doing communion. And we will also receive an offering for the Benevolent Fund. And those of you who have been around for a long time, you know what all of that means. Ladies, there's a couple of announcements here in the bulletin that are just for you. So please make sure that you take note of those. And we still have our devotional books, The Daily Bread, out on the information table. And the new quarter begins December 1st. So if you haven't got one yet, you want to make sure that you be able to do that. All right, you ready to sing? Ready to move about? Ready to let your praise lift it up to God? Well, okay.
It's okay. You can raise your hands. It's all right. You can even clap.
I'm turning it over to you.
Would you all stand up with
me? We'll
see
what
you can do. Solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. sinking sand. Would you go and be seated and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much that we have a firm foundation in Jesus to stand on. He is our cornerstone of our foundation in you. Lord, we thank you today for that. We thank you for stability in Jesus. Lord, today we proclaim your goodness, your grace, your awesomeness. Lord, we love you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, my cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Oh, Christ alone, the cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He's Lord of all. The Lord of all. How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, Jesus, yours is a victory. Lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, God, you are my living hope. Give the Lord a round of applause if he's your living hope today. Come on. Woo! That didn't get you excited, I don't know what will. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Hallelujah. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And in his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in prayer, recognizing who you are, recognizing your greatness, recognizing that you have bestowed grace on us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In this season of Thanksgiving, God, help us to remember just how much you have done on our behalf and to give an appropriate response of surrender to you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. You're amazing. We worship you and we praise you today because you're worthy and you're good. Lord, thank you for providing for us so much. Thank you for blessing us with so much. God, help us to honor you with what we have and with who we are. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Worship is going to take this morning's offering, and we got one more song for you. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I could do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I'm going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now on the mountaintop. I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Oh, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, more than enough. I'm already loved, I'm already chosen. I know who I am, I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved, more than I could imagine. More than you ask, think or imagine, according to his power working in us. It's more than enough, more than you ask, think or imagine, according to his power working in us. It's more than enough, it's more than enough, it's more than enough. Always enough, more than enough, forever enough, always enough, more than enough.
You know, that word Jireh is the name for God that means provider. When he provides, it's always more than enough. The question, though, is, are we satisfied with all that it is that he provides? Or are we greedy enough to think we always got to have more? You know, Jared reminded us a little bit this morning that our thankfulness comes from a heart and a life of surrender. And I wonder, as we head into this coming Thursday, which is a day that's set aside for us to give thankfulness for all that God has done for us. Some of you are going to surrender, but you're going to surrender at the plate of turkey and the bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy and at the casserole dish of green bean casserole and at the pie dish of pecan pie and pumpkin pie and apple pie. And then finally, you're going to come to a place to where you're going to lay down on the couch or you're going to sit in a chair and you're going to go, enough, enough, I've had enough. And then a couple hours later, after watching football on TV, you're going to want more. You know, that's a physical want. God has given us spiritual blessings. And as we head into this Thursday, my prayer is that all of us will say to God, God, thank you, because what you've given me spiritually is more than enough. Amen? Children, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. Boy, they look ready, don't they? You all ready for Thursday? So how many of you don't have school this week? You get the whole week off. Man. You know, when I was your age, back before electricity, back before heat, we had to go to school all the way up till Wednesday. And then we got Thursday and Friday off. Then we had to be back to school on Monday. You get the whole week off? Whoa, that is wonderful. You guys make the most of it, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful to be able to be reminded this morning of your provision for us. Father, you've provided for us so much physically, so much materially. Father, we are so blessed. And now this morning, we're looking forward to what you're going to provide for us from your word. So, Father, I pray that our ears and our minds will be open. Father, that our hearts will be open to receive what you have for us. And Father, may we not just hear it, but Father, may we be very quick to put it into practice into our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17, continuing on in our series of messages this November. Today we're going to be talking about giving God our thankfulness. The comedian Joey Brown, and if you're not familiar with him because you're not old like I am, go ahead and Google it. Joey Brown was a very amazing entertainer. He was a comic. He was funny. He went through some tragedy in his life, and we're going to talk a little bit about one of those times of tragedy. The comedian Joey Brown lost his son in World War II. Captain Don Brown was a handsome and healthy, strong young man with a quick mind and a flair for leadership. He was student president at UCLA and student colonel of ROTC. As far as his father was concerned, the sun rose and set on Don. During the war, an enemy sabotaged Don's plane and he crashed to his death. When his father received the word, he was getting ready to perform in Detroit. Here was a professional, funny man who now had to make people laugh when his own heart was broken. Because of this tragedy, Joey Brown rebelled and doubted God's love and even God's very existence. And for many hours and days, he wandered in a dark cloud. Joey Brown continued to perform his act, and he gave of his time to perform at military bases all over the world. His schedule was so full that he developed a severe case of sciatica. He insisted on keeping his schedule, even though he had to be transported from place to place in an ambulance. One night on Christmas Island, he gazed out over a sea of faces, and he couldn't wait to give them more fun than any man could possibly give. He went into an act that included a crazy dance he used to do in vaudeville and kept them howling with laughter. And when it was over, and he stood off stage mopping his brow, he suddenly realized his pain was gone, and it was gone for good. Healing had come in his zealous act of serving others by cheering their hearts while they were facing difficult circumstances. Joey Brown said, "I don't know what faith is or how you get it, but one thing I am sure of, I trust God now with my whole life." His heart was grateful for two things, for what God did for him and for what God did through him. This experience of Joe E. Brown parallels Paul's experience in Paul's ministry of the gospel. And Paul lets us into a little bit of that here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Hopefully by now you've found these verses, so follow along as I read them. Paul says, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak Christ." Now in verse 12, Paul is telling us that he came to Troas to preach, and the door was wide open. The opportunity was there, and the prospects for success in preaching the gospel, the message of the gospel, was excellent. But he says in verse 13 that he had no rest in his spirit. He had no peace of mind and was restless and was anxious. In spite of the ideal setting, Paul was not in an ideal state of mind to take full advantage of this ministry opportunity. Here's an honest man. Here's an honest man of God telling it like it is. He had an open door, but he just didn't feel up to walking through it. One of the reasons is that Paul was continually worried about the church in Corinth. Remember when we did our sermon series in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians? We talked about Paul's concern for this church, because this church was full of what? Problems. This church had nothing but problems in it. And so Paul was continually worried about this church. And Paul had written in his first letter to them to try and resolve some of them. He knew that there were critics in the church who were opposed to him. Remember, we talked about the fact that there were people in the church who would say, "You know what? To me, Paul is the greatest communicator of God's word there ever was. And there were other people who went, Paul, are you serious? No, there's Apollos. Man, can that guy preach? Man, can that guy teach? Man, we follow Apollos everywhere that he goes. And some went, what? Paul? What? Apollos? No, Peter. After all, Peter was with Jesus. After all, Peter had denied Jesus, and yet he was forgiven of that. Oh, Peter is such a dynamic believer. He has so much to be able to tell us. And people were going, what? Who? Paul? Apollos? Peter? Oh, no. We follow Jesus. And so there was these divisions within the church. There were these critics within the church. They said that Paul didn't really care for them. They were going to the church leadership saying, listen, we don't have to listen to what Paul has to say, because after all, he doesn't have the authority to be able to share what it is that he says God has given to him. Paul could not minister with a state of mind in which he was uncertain about what was happening in a difficult situation in this church at Corinth that he cared so much about. So Paul left a promising ministry opportunity and went to Macedonia in search of Titus, who was to give a report to Paul about what was happening in the Corinthian church. Now notice that Paul does not hide his feelings as he writes this letter. Paul does not hesitate to add himself to the list of spiritual leaders who shed tears out of concern for others. He bears his soul and shows his inner feelings over and over. But yet, at the same time, he reveals that he had such optimism and that he was extremely thankful. And suddenly, like lightning flashing across the dark sky, Paul goes from being from having an anxious mind in verse 13 to verse 14, where he awakens into praise and thankfulness. Sometimes Paul can be on the mountaintop of blessing, and sometimes he can be in the valley of suffering. You know, I think some of us, we can relate to that as well. Sometimes we can be on the mountaintop of God's blessing, and sometimes we can be in the valley of suffering. And sometimes that suffering comes as a result of our own doing, doesn't it? Of some of the choices that we have made. With Paul, it makes no difference where or under what condition when Paul's attitude of thankfulness will appear. What a lesson that is for us. That no matter what's going on in our lives, we can still have this attitude of thankfulness. We can still bring to God our thankfulness. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "The man who has forgotten to be thankful has fallen asleep in life." If this is true, Paul was a man who never slept, for he never forgot, no matter what, to be thankful. Later on in this letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about the many trials, the many times of suffering that he endured as he was ministering the gospel for God in various places. And it's an incredible list. He was left for dead. He spent days in the water. He was shipwrecked several times. He was bitten by snakes. He was stoned to death. Stoned and left for dead. His friends forsake him. The people that God had called him to minister to, they didn't listen to him. In fact, they criticized him. They said he wasn't worthy to be an apostle. He wasn't worthy to be a minister. He endured a lot, but he never forgot to be thankful. Paul's thankfulness was no mere formality, as it is for many people. Benjamin Franklin recalled his boyhood experience of thankfulness. His family had an old salt barrel in the corner, and from that the meat was taken for every day's need. And every day his father would pray at the table, "Thank thee, Father, for the meat that thou hast laid before us." One day, Ben got an idea that seemed like an excellent idea for saving time. Ben said to his father, "Why not say one prayer over the whole barrel and get the thanking done with?" And then we won't have to thank the Lord every meal. Later on, Ben Franklin said he often remembered the sound rebuking he received for that attitude of ingratitude. Many, however, do think of thankfulness to God as a mere formality. But for Paul, thankfulness came out of a heart that could never adequately express his gratitude for two things: for what God did for him and for what God did through him. So let's, for the next few moments, let's consider Paul's thankfulness. And let's start with considering Paul's thankful for what God did for him. Did you notice the first part of verse 14? It states, "But thanks be to God." Paul met up with Titus in Macedonia, and there he heard the news that the Corinthians were changing because of Paul's first letter to them. This news leads Paul to declare, "Thanks be to God." Paul was so worried about this church, so worried about this church that he was so concerned for. But now he is thankful because God has again brought about a spiritual victory. Paul cannot thank God enough for the blessings and joys that come from the hand and the heart of God. When was the last time that you shouted out to God, that you declared in your own heart or in your own mind, in the quietness of just being by yourself or in a group of people, "Thanks be to God"? You might say, "Well, Pastor, man, if I do that, people are going to think I'm strange. People are going to think I'm weird. People are going to go, what in the world is wrong with you?" But you know what? We have a lot. We have a lot for us to be able to say from the top of our lungs, standing on the highest mountain or standing in the lowest valley, "Thanks be to God." Because everything you are, everything that you have, everything that you get to experience, all comes from who? God. Why wouldn't we, like Paul, want to say, "Thanks be to God for the blessings and the joys that come from the hand and the heart of God"? Paul is saying that God in his providence, as Jireh, the provider, is always leading him from one victory to another. It was God who was leading him in triumph. So, do we praise God from whom all blessings flow when they cease to flow and the spiritual battle rages and the bitterness of life comes our way instead of the sweetness of life? You see, biblical thankfulness to God does not depend on circumstances, but on the unswerving confidence that God will lead us to triumph time and time again. You know, for us as believers, our thankfulness to God almost always grows stronger in the middle of our trials. Thanksgiving started in America from the backdrop of much suffering for the pilgrims. Many died, and those who survived suffered, but "thanks be to God" was still their cry of victory. Lincoln's official proclamation in 1863, which made Thanksgiving a national holiday, came out of a setting of a nation torn by the Civil War. Lincoln, in spite of the difficulties of that war, was mindful of what God had done for this nation. In his mind, he believed, as Paul did, that God was always leading in triumph. And he referred to national blessings as the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered us with his mercy. You see, Paul knew, spiritual people know, it is only in God that we can experience spiritual victory. Paul was also thankful for what God did through him. The second half of verse 14 states, "And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." What a unique and beautiful description. Paul pictures the victorious believer as a perfume dispenser, spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of God. Where did Paul get this? By spending time with the Romans. This fits the picture of the Roman victory parade, in which the atmosphere in the streets would be filled with sweet-smelling perfume and incense. They would lay flowers at the feet of the conquering heroes as they came back with the spoils of war, as they conquered different peoples and as they conquered different lands. And the atmosphere of all of those who were watching this amazing parade could smell the sweetness, the change in the atmosphere. Paul says that the knowledge of God is like fragrant perfume, and that he was used of God to share this blessing with others. And Paul was so thankful that God would use him and through him bless people everywhere. You know, there's no greater joy than the joy of being useful for a spiritual purpose. Now, you've heard it taught here at Lake Hazel Bible Church before, and I'm going to remind you, every believer, every person who believes in Jesus as Savior has been given a spiritual gift. And we've not been given that spiritual gift to just let it sit idly by. We've been given that spiritual gift to what? To be able to use, to glorify God, and to be able to bless others. Every believer, if you are here this morning and you believe in Jesus as Savior, you've been given a spiritual gift. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. How do I find out what my spiritual gift is? I'll tell you what I told the teens a couple weeks ago when we talked about this. Jump in. Find something within the church to do and do it. And you know what? Very quickly, you'll find out one of two things. It is your spiritual gift or it ain't. And if it's not your spiritual gift, come and talk to us and we'll kind of slowly let you dive into something else and see if maybe that is your spiritual gift. But you're not going to figure out what your spiritual gift is by just letting it sit beside you, by just being idle. You see, God has given us this spiritual gift. It comes from the Holy Spirit for it to be used to what? Honor Him, glorify Him, and what? Bless others. And Paul understood this. And Paul was so thankful that God would use him and through him bless people everywhere. How often do we get excited about the fact that God uses us to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him to others? Maybe you're here this morning and you're going, Pastor, I'm not that excited. Well, if we're not that excited, maybe it's because we smell like the Limburger cheese of the world, instead of the sweet-smelling perfume of the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. We must be filled with the fragrance of the knowledge of God ourselves if we are to capture the attention of others with this precious aroma. Paul is so thankful that he can be part of such joyous ministry as taking the aroma of God to other people. And what did he say? No one deserves to be used for such a high purpose. Not even Paul. But that's why Paul is so thankful that God would use him. You've heard me say it before. I don't know why God has called me to be a pastor. If you look at the environment I grew up in, if you look at the circumstances that I endured as I was growing up, I would be the most unlikely candidate to ever do what it is that God uses me to be able to do. But there's not a day that goes by. There's not a time when I'm together with you that I don't say thanks be to God that he uses me for this purpose, to be a sweet-smelling aroma, not because of my cologne, a sweet-smelling aroma to the people at Lake Hazel Bible Church. When was the last time you said, I want to be that sweet-smelling aroma to those that God puts in my path, to those that God puts in my life? No one deserves. I don't deserve to be your pastor. But I thank God that he allows me to be. And I thank God that you understand that God allows me and that you affirm that over and over and over again. You see, God makes us partners. God makes us partners in the greatest work on earth of what? Sharing the knowledge of him with others. And when you realize that, you cannot help but be thankful. Now, you might be saying here, sitting here this morning, and you might be saying, Pastor, I don't know the Bible as well as you do. I don't know the Bible as well as our leadership team. I don't know the Bible probably as the person sitting in front of me or behind me. Doesn't matter. God has a purpose for you. And that purpose is to take the knowledge of him. Has God done something in your life? Has God done something in your life already today? Be ready to tell somebody about that. Has God done something in your life in the past? Be ready to tell somebody about that. Every single one of us, we have that opportunity. We know that God's at work in our life. The sad thing is we never let him work through our lives to be a blessing and an encouragement to others. God makes us partners in this wonderful work of being the aroma, the sweet-smelling aroma of the knowledge of God to others. And when we realize that, our only response is to be thankful. You see, God has a beautiful use for us, and we need to respond with a beautiful spirit. You see, every single one of us, there isn't anyone in this room that is accepted. We can be fragrant flowers of Jesus in a world full of weeds. So what have we learned through this? We learned that what God did for Paul and through Paul, he will and does the same through us. What God did for Paul and through Paul, he will and does the same through us. So this Thanksgiving, as we lead up to this holiday on Thursday, let's not say, I'm so full of turkey. Let's say, I'm so full of thankfulness for what God has done in me and what God will do through me. Let's mix the aroma of turkey with the sweet fragrance of becoming more and more like Jesus. Father, that's our prayer this morning, is that we will become more and more like you. Father, that we will be that sweet-smelling aroma to those around us, the sweet-smelling aroma of the knowledge of you. Father, you have done so much for us. Father, you have brought us salvation. Father, you brought us redemption. You have brought us reconciliation. And by believing in you as Savior, you have brought us the reality of eternity with you in heaven. You've given us eternal life. Father, help us to spread that aroma to those that you put across our path, that they may be able to know your redemption, your salvation, your reconciliation, that they might be able to know that their future destiny is eternity in heaven with you, because they now have come to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior. Father, we are so blessed. Help us to be so thankful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? And we're actually going to sing two songs. I'm going to add one, because you mentioned it in your sermon, which is great. But first, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Lord, forgiving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Have a blessed day in the name of Jesus.